Yes, Lo, come on in. It is time once again for Less Than Jays. The trade deadline has come and gone, Jake. We are recording this 8 p.m. on Tuesday the 1st. The trade deadline, 2 hours passed. We have waited and waited, and there are no extra moves coming. Blue Jays did make two trades since we spoke last. We'll get into those. We'll get into everything and more. Jake, how did you enjoy the before we get into the final feeling, how did you enjoy the process of trade deadline day today?
I mean, I actually thought the first like 4 hours was really fun.
Started out pretty fun, didn't it?
It did. The DeJong trade was nice. The Bo is not severely injured news was nice. And then it all sort of fell apart.
Well, I guess...
Yeah. I don't know. Now that we're not it's good that we're recording at like 8 and not at 6 is what I was
6:20. My mood was, I went for a dude walk after that. I think the 2 hours that we've had to process reminds you that Jordan Hicks is part of this, right? Jordan Hicks sort of has to count in terms of what they did around the deadline, because it didn't happen on deadline day. It happened a day and a half earlier. I think it still counts as deadline move. You know what I mean?
I do, but I would say that remembering that they got Jordan Hicks is, it almost makes me angrier.
Mm.
Because, you know, I have said many, many times on this show that I believe that Ross Atkins, and I'm not going to bring Mark Shapiro into this because his job is not baseball, I think, at this point.
He's a businessman.
I could be wrong.
Mark's a businessman. It's about
he's about making
the Blue Jays a better
product. He's about pricing people out of the stadium. He's not about building a team.
Well, they're pricing people into the stadium, though, right? Instead of his job.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. but I think I've said many times, and I stand by this, that Atkins seems to live on half measures when it comes to transactions and building a team. And it's always sort of like halfway, you know. In 2021, he builds this elite offense and an almost elite rotation and a terrible bullpen. And then, you know, at the deadline, he goes out and gets Berríos and goes and gets like Simber and Richards and attempt to shore up the bullpen. But the bullpen being a disaster to start the year costs them in the end, rather than starting the year with a good bullpen. Last year, sort of the same thing all over the place. You know, there was some offensive struggles last year, some defensive struggles last year, back of the rotation issues last year. Goes out and gets Merrifield and Bass and Pop. I would say that I enjoyed this year's trade deadline more than last year's.
Merrifield ends up being, if they get a bit Merrifield out of this, they're in good shape.
I agree, but I feel like there was a lot more movement league wide last year.
That's true.
And I would say they had a lot more immediate assets they could have traded last year. This year, the rotation is surprisingly great.
They're the best ERA in the league. But the pitching staff as a whole has been the best in the American.
Bullpen has been one of the best in the league to begin with. And then the additions of Hennessy Cabrera and, not to mention, the big one of Jordan Hicks.
To me, two thumbs up in terms of pitching.
Absolutely. But the offense was kind of a mess. And the one thing that everyone's been saying they need since like February is the right-handed outfield bat. And I think you and I would agree that had they added that bat, whether that was Tommy Pham or Teoscar Hernandez, though now it sounds like Teoscar might have never been available to begin with, because Seattle's PR is saying that they are trying to win. But if they just added a bat, I think you and I would agree that this would go to like an A grade trade deadline for the Blue Jays.
So we should recap what they actually did do first.
So, just to finish my point about why Jordan
Please do.
Hicks. I wouldn't say Jordan Hicks makes me angrier. He does make it more confusing to me.
Mm.
And this in the strategy, and that going out and getting Hicks is awesome. it's exactly what I wanted them to do with the bullpen.
Yeah.
Thrilled they have Jordan Hicks.
Jump the market too.
Jump the market. And then the part that confuses me is they shot at the top of the market. Hicks was arguably, I don't know if you can say he was the best reliever available, but he was top of the, he was in the top tier for sure. And they went out, shop top of the market, jumped the market, got their guy. Then to not go out and try and shop top of the market just to add a bat is just very confusing to me. I don't, unless they have the utmost faith that your Springers and your Varshos are going to turn around and they really believe that Davis Schneider or Addison Barger is going to come up and make a difference. Like, it just seems like such an odd halfway move to me, and I don't fully get it.
Lots of points there, and appreciate them. You're right. I don't want to present the argument that I don't think it's right to feel underwhelmed, because I do think you're well within your right, and I'm well within my right as well. I ultimately do feel underwhelmed. Just as you said, like, it's such an identifiable thing, and you can say, like, very technically that they did get a right-handed bat in Paul DeJong.
Sure, he can hit.
Well, he can hit against lefties, and like, there's some power, but like, he's a very good defensive shortstop. He is technically a right-handed bat, and you would say better than some of the DFA options, but only a couple guys moved at this trade deadline that are better than him. Anyway, so I just want to recap it quickly. They get Paul DeJong early in the day. I want to say around 11:30, 11:45. They get Paul DeJong for a guy that, listen, part of the gig here when you're trying to invent trades is you look at your own system and like make up who guys would want and what it would take. A guy that I've never heard of, 24-year-old playing playing high A. No, never heard of, but never think about again. 24-year-old playing high A, a reliever. That gets Paul DeJong, and can't talk about this without talking about the fact that Bo Bichette is hurt with a big question mark right now. It is something that Ross Atkins admitted or like hinted at very strongly today, that they expect to take a hit at that position. Like, they're going to be without Bichette for a little bit of time, and that sort of necessitated the Paul DeJong move. Which to me means like I wonder how seriously they really were pursuing a right-handed outfield bat is the thing for me. They also, as we said, we got Jordan Hicks, which I did a small episode on the Patreon. I think you touched on there. We'll get into a little bit more. They got Jordan Hicks, incredible guy that we had on our list. The only one of two relievers we had on our list. I was actually just revisiting our Let's Think About Some Guys list. And we basically nailed every guy that got traded except for a couple of the teams went from seller to buyer. Like all of the guys on the seller teams that we put together did move pretty much. We did pretty good.
Drury didn't.
Grichik did. The Cardinals outfield didn't move around really.
Yeah.
We have Paul DeJong on here right underneath him, Anderson. So I think Anderson didn't go.
Grichik also homering immediately after us being like, I don't want Grichik. It's pretty funny.
The Cubs, the Mariners, the Padres we had on here all became buyers instead of sellers, I think is what really is the big standout on this list. Like any Padre really, we have. Yeah.
It really seemed like the only sellers on the whole market were the Mariners, the Cardinals, and the Mets.
So we'll talk, I think, first about Teoscar Hernandez, because it came through shortly, like around the same time as the DeJong thing sort of really picked up steam. It seemed like at the same time that they were closing in on Teoscar Hernandez, and then sort of see some quotes have come out now afterwards as Ross has spoken that sort of hinted to like the guys that we were rumored to being interested in weren't nearly as interested as it's being made out to seem. And I had heard Seattle, yeah, was basically their thought was they didn't want to trade for a team that they're quote-unquote competing with for a playoff spot. They didn't want to give Teoscar to that. It's like, man, almost all the AL is compared to where you are in the standings. So they're going to go down. They're going to go down with the Oscarship. Say to the Oscarship. So maybe that's fine. It was like Teoscar wasn't really available to them, and we've seen a million times. I think that leak that they were down the road with him might have been a motivational one. to get somebody else to actually really pay. Because what I'm guessing is they weren't really being offered. Like, we saw the guy, basically a guy that doesn't exist for Paul DeJong, and then really middle of the pack double A starters. Maybe one of them breaks out for Jordan Hicks. So you sort of have, like, they really haven't given up much. You wonder what Seattle's actual ask there is. And then Tommy Pham was a last minute move. And Mark Canha went. So like, the point I'm trying to make here is, like, they're really, like, I don't think Lane Thomas got traded.
No.
The right-handed hitting outfielder was not only one that a lot of people wanted, there wasn't a lot of them available. Unless you thought they really should have jumped in on Canha early, there really wasn't anyone that went that you're super... That's the other side of this, I guess, that I keep talking about. There's two ways to think about that, right? Is, like, did you want them to go get Grichuk that badly, or basically, how much do you think about Pham or Canha is sort of your entire litmus test here? But it was clear that Seattle wasn't going to trade them to Oscar Hernandez unless they did a crazy overpay. Who else should they have gotten that got moved? I think is the point that other people are making. You could say, oh, go get Hunter Renfro, but it's pretty clear the Angels are going to try to do something here. Anybody can look at this bottom part of this wild card, and it's like, we're within a handful of games of this.
Yeah, I think that's fair, but I also think, you know, everyone's a coward, so it's okay that we're cowards too, isn't a great defense of the front office.
Right. No, I agree with you there. I agree with you there totally. I do get a lot of, like, that. I'm like, well, pay exorbitantly. I don't care. Like,
yeah. Like, and, like, it's hard to, for, especially for guys who didn't end up getting moved, it's hard to be like, well, they should have gone out and gotten him.
Right.
Because, like, if you want to make the argument, and I encourage you to, because it would have been really fun, but, like, if you want to make the argument they should have offered a major package for, like, Louis Robert, then
yeah,
it's like, okay, but he didn't go
serious guys off the starting roster.
Yeah. And then, you know, I'm not against that. In fact, I would have been greatly in favor of it. But clearly, that's not how really anyone seemed to be operating this year. Like, the only, even for returns, like, the only guys who got actual returns was, like, Verlander, I think, got, there's a couple prospects there. One of the Rangers moves, but not Scherzer. What was the other one the Rangers did? The other big one the Rangers did the other day. I forget.
Yeah, there were some people throwing around in that. Yeah.
There was a high ranked prospect, and the Angels gave up two top five prospects. But the Angels are prospects are probably bad anyway. There wasn't we're trading for Juan Soto stuff like last year,
right,
where it's like, we're trading lot. We are giving a lot to get something. And with minimal teams actually selling, so a lot of the big names that you and I talked about, the teams decided to buy. Like, I didn't expect the Padres to wake up this morning and be buyers. So that took a lot of the big what ifs off the board, other than basically everyone on the White Sox. And I guess you could argue, like, Arenado and Goldschmidt. But it's a frustrating deadline in the sense that I don't think they did enough. And I think that it is a abject failure on their part for not doing enough, while also sort of admitting and understanding that it's hard to see what they could have done. Unless, like you say, they push really hard for Tommy Pham, which, like, how hard do you want to push for Tommy Pham?
So I think, and this is sort of a for better or worse sort of thing, the reality of what the Jays are this year lies in the guys they already have and already had going into this, right? Like, there's definitely, you know, they could have gotten Teoscar maybe, hypothetically. It's like, it is truly, honestly, though, more important that, like, George Springer is okay in 2 months from now, right? You know what I mean by that? Like,
he looks full broken.
Of all the, like, they can go and get some guys and supplement and right-handed bat against this and that. Bo has to be healthy, and Vlad and Springer have to be playing well. That's the reality. What you're trying to buy with these other guys is another opportunity somewhere in the lineup to luck into that. Again, like you just said, I don't know that there even was a guy that moved. And I think it leads me to the conclusion that I wonder if they're going to, if we're getting like a Davis Schneider, Addison Barger call up.
Oh, I think we absolutely are. Even Atkins said today that he prefers the internal options to the DFA options. So your Nelson Cruz's, your Trey Mancini's, he seems to not have the interest in. So
I think I agree with that. I think I would rather
see David. I mean, I'm of two minds of it. I think just looking at sort of Mancini and Cruz's numbers this year, it's like, yeah, why would you?
Yeah,
we have that already. But I think my issue or concern, I should say, with not adding another bat, because I agree with you. Like, if Springer keeps going 0 for a billion, then like none of this really matters, frankly. But also the back half of this offense, and it's the same conversation we've had all year. It's the depth conversation.
Yes.
Because now without adding a bat, unless you want to count DeJong as a bat, which like I don't. I like the addition, but he's not like the offensive boost kind of guy. But like now you're looking at the bench is Kirk, who can barely hit this year.
Espinal, come out of it a little bit, but yeah.
A little bit, but for the still OPSing like 7. Espinal, who's been pretty bad. Biggio, who's been even worse. And the last roster spot, who they DFA'd today. And so let's say Bo is healthy and DeJong's there. So then it's the same with Paul DeJong.
And you're getting rid of that Espinal slot, I think is what I would say to that. Is you're getting rid of the Espinal slot and then you're opening up that 13. I know they haven't done it, and I'm pipe dreaming, but like it feels to me that the next thing you would do is turn that 13 into go time for one of these guys down there.
I agree with you that that's the plan.
Yeah, whether they actually do it or not, we'll see.
I think they are going to do it, and I do think that's the plan, but I would argue that for a team trying to win the World Series, that's a stupid plan.
You know, it is and it isn't, I guess is what I would say to that. Like,
I shouldn't say stupid. I should say lazy.
It's not, yeah, it's not as sexy or as what feels like a sure thing as like just going and getting the guys, like just go and get the Nelson Cruz, if you want to use for that example. But I don't know. It has a recent history of like sort of working out. Like no one's seen this guy, and the classic, like how many times in baseball do we see a guy get hot for a little bit because no one's figured him out? It's like trying to time that jump, trying to time that like little moment. You've seen a lot of teams, good teams, sort of do that. Like that's basically the story of the Rays, right? Every year we're like, who's this guy they just called up?
Yeah.
Late in the season that isn't actually good and doesn't actually have the big future, but looks like for a little bit is this world beater. I know it's a gamble, but I guess you sort of think of like it's all a gamble. I'm not saying it's the preferred way forward, but as annoying as it is, and I don't like it either, and I've tried to rally against it, like just get in is sort of like the way to go right now.
I suppose I don't fully disagree, but I kind of disagree, especially in the sense of the sort of the lessons that they haven't learned with that mindset. Like the just get in and we'll see, they did that already. And you know, it's a 3-game series in the wild card. So like anything can happen. I'm not saying that last year is necessarily like, oh, they lost last year, so it's not going to work again this year. But I do think that mentality is just not, I don't want to say not a winning mentality, because that's such like a Jays talk jock idiot idea. But it's not like, it's not a front office mentality that I think should exist. And unfortunately, it is the front office mentality for like 28 of 30 teams in baseball.
Yeah, that's ball sort of.
It is. And, you know, we can and have argued the merits of that. But that's a larger issue than the Blue Jays trade deadline results. I don't know. I think they view clearly, and maybe to be fair, rightfully, they view Witt as that fourth outfielder guy when everyone's healthy.
Yeah.
And you know, the way he's been playing, I think that's maybe as good an option as you were going to find at the deadline this year.
That's right.
And then if you want to put DeJong in the
infield
second base spot when Bo is healthy, which I think they should, then yeah, that 1 through 9 isn't, there's no reason that 1 through 9 shouldn't be good enough to win some playoff games.
Jake, this is the window to say, geez, Bo, with the we got this elite shortstop when you were gone, and it'd be easier on your leg if you played second, don't you think? This is the window.
I didn't even think of that, to be honest.
This is the window to do it. I'm just saying.
It is definitely. But my point is,
he's rehabbing anyway, so it's like the games where he's practicing and learning. He's already got that built in. This is the perfect time to do it.
I like it. But like, I think that makes them significantly better, actually. But that aside, the issue comes in when it's the eighth inning and there's the, like, John Schneider clearly already struggles with pinch inning decisions. And now you're not giving him any good options, I think, is what worries me.
Yeah. I mean, you, for all that, there was the, you know, the bench is not good.
It's so thin. It's so bench so thin.
Again, and normally, I would say quite normally, often, I would say on the plus side, you know, very good outfield, but they clearly, every one of their outfield, even with the regular playing time that Merrifield is getting out of there, every one of their outfield guys is a guy that you can make your case. We've talked about this all year, needing to have extended time off during the season. Like,
yeah,
Springer has to have his rest days. Kiermaier is not, as a guy that you're just trying to keep healthy this entire year, and now really, really need him to stay healthy more than anything. And Varsho, as we've seen, is like, is going to have stretches where he's super duper cold, and it would be nice to be able to be a little more matchup friendly in those situations where you don't have to play him. And like, as we saw, they have less outfielders than they did going into the game, which like, I did not expect, because they end up cutting Luplo. It's like a guy who, you can say whatever you want about the overall package, hits left-handed pitching and wasn't being used in situations against lefties. And it's like that 13th roster spot has been such a point of consternation for me all year long. It's like, I don't understand why you're wasting it. I just don't get it.
Yeah.
That slot is what we were talking about the whole time, and it doesn't feel like it's any better off. And again, this is where I think they're going to go try to find some lightning in a bottle with one of the kids, because that's what they sort of have to, that there is no, This is the roster that we're dealing with. I'm just surprised. And maybe my, how the bitter taste in the mouth 2 hours ago at 6:30, maybe the part of that is I just really expected it to be something that was a clearly fillable need, and it ended up not being. And I think a lesson learned, as you said, I think a lesson learned on my end, I think this year and maybe last year too, I was a little more around the beginning of the year, a little more lenient on, well, here's this obvious hole, they'll fill it later. They did that with the bullpen again. They've done a very good job, and then commendably, each of the last 3 years, they've upgraded the bullpen in the season. They've done it, and now they've done it enough times that it's a very, very good bullpen, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I have no complaints with bullpen.
Now, it just, they haven't been able to get it done on the position side, with finding, you know, in a similar way, we talk about the breakout reliever, that like, when are the Jays going to have that breakout crazy reliever? And they got it a little bit with Romano, and they've gotten it with Jay Jackson, and a little bit with Trevor Richards this year, where it's like you're finally getting the reliever luck go your way, and now they've supplemented that. I feel like they haven't had that happen with the offense in a little bit. They haven't had the
offensive players and taken away good offensive players.
Well, they haven't. Yeah, I guess that's true, Jake. Touche. I was trying to think. Like, I guess there was a little run with Espinal where it was like, whoa, did we suddenly develop an all-star second baseman out of nowhere? There was that little run. And I guess Kirk qualifies as that as well. I don't think when Kirk was 20, we were expecting him to be in the lineup 3 years later as like a very good defensive catcher. Let's talk about the bullpen, actually, while we're here. Jordan Hicks, we didn't talk about it extensively on the show here. I talked about it on Monday because I had the day off, and I was just like, yay, I'm going to go up with Gab. very excited, very happy with this one. Klopfenstein and other guy, don't even remember, already gone. I have no permanence.
Sem.
Sem. Sam Robers. I have no object. I realized this as I was talking to someone on Twitter. I have no object permanence for roster spots.
It's funny. I was talking today with a couple of our friends about that exactly, and couldn't even remember. We were talking just about like the notion of trading prospects and how you should, because holding them is dumb. And my proof of that was that I don't remember the prospects traded for Tulowitzki in 2015 anymore. No idea.
Right. That's funny.
It was Jose Reyes and some others.
That's funny. The exact example I was going to use for you was literally Jeff Hoffman, who was like the very high pick that they get.
Right.
Like the pitcher they had just drafted in the first round.
Well, Austin Martin is in the FCL right now.
People better than I will post. What's his name? Whoever it is. I hope Klopfenstein figures it out in the other org. I got to tell you, I don't. As soon as he is in the tweet that he is being traded away, complete mind erase. I forget that he ever was in the system. Years ago.
You know whose name we haven't mentioned the show in 2 years? Simeon Woods Richardson. Yeah. You know, so we've never mentioned him since he got traded. It's because it's not our business.
So there you go. Those guys out the door for Jordan Hicks, who I have to say, Jake, GM Jake is here. He's like a caricature of the guy that we've been asking for, specifically you. You were like, give me the guy who throws harder than donkey dick. I don't care if he doesn't know where it's going. Just give me it. And you have been gifted the donkey dick of them all.
the thickest dick for throwing hard.
Crazy talk.
It's perfect. Like he literally has thrown the fastest pitch ever. It's amazing. I'm thrilled. I would love to see him. I would love to see us have a lead with him on the roster to see him pitch. That would be nice. I think the Hicks move was great. And I think that also sort of made, sort of just back to what we started with. I think that the move also kind of made today more disappointing. Because we were ready. Like, we were ready for the go out and get them moves. And I think, like, because really they made one big trade with the Cardinals over 2 weeks. And I will give them credit. It's a very lopsided trade in the Blue Jays' favor. Like, it's a great.
Crush them with it, yeah.
If you want to take all three trades as one trade, it's an awesome trade. But I still wish they had made one more for a bat. But back to Hicks, yeah, it's like if you were to ask me, and you did ask me, one name that I wanted them to go add to the bullpen, it was Jordan Hicks. And
I have to think about some guys. I actually got to give us a credit. I know we already went over this, but like check this out. We got every pitcher. We got Jordan Montgomery listed on here, got traded today. Jack Flaherty traded. Lucas Giolito traded. Lance Lynn traded. Michael Lorenzen traded. Some reliever that throws hard and has a slider, that's Henny. And Jordan Hicks, the only reliever other than Josh Hader on this entire list. And
like you said, was on a team that wasn't selling.
Padres don't count because they didn't sell. So the only reliever that we named specifically, the entire card, got him. I was so proud of us. I was like, we did it. We went 2 for 2 in which relievers they're going to get. Jordan Hicks. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I think... It gives them quite a lot of options.
Yeah.
We were talking in the moment of how far down the list Jimmy Garcia is now.
Yeah,
crazy.
He's the sixth inning guy.
It's really, really nicely put together. Listen, all of it is going to be, there is the obvious, like it's the caveats of like, there is going to be days where it goes bad. That's just
kind
of a reliever.
There's going to be an appearance where Hicks gives up like 9 home runs, 100%.
But he's been amazing recently. He throws it harder than anybody you've ever seen. He throws a sinker harder than anybody that's thrown any pitch for the Blue Jays.
It was a 102 mile an hour sinker.
I can't wait to see it. Absolutely.
I will say, if
attract stuff,
if this team can pull it together even a little bit more, and not even like before the playoffs, they can make some noise like towards the end of August. A full pumped up Skydome watching Jordan Hicks throw absolute darts is going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be awesome. Wish they had gotten outfield.
Well, the thing is, I was just thinking about this. I'll take you back on a little trip to March of this year, March of 2023, you and I sitting in, I guess I was sitting in the same spot. You hadn't redone your basement yet, so I don't know if you were in the same spot.
Same chair.
Same chair. Talking about Brian Reynolds and just the idea of how crazy it was that they were going into the season without a fourth outfielder, knowing that Springer would probably get hurt and Kiermaier would probably get hurt and they'll need days off. And, you know, by the grace of whatever you choose to believe in, neither Kiermaier nor Springer has gotten hurt. Springer's broken in different ways, but he seems to be healthy. And yet, that fourth outfielder just never materialized. And it's just insane to me that you can go March, April, May, June, July, 6 months now and know that that's a need. Like, it was not like it was a secret and we were the only ones saying it. And still be like, eh, we'll go with well, what we got. We're confident in our guys.
We went Merrifield. With Merrifield.
And that has to be a reason, right? They have to feel like Merrifield's that fourth guy.
Yeah, I think they do. I think they do. And I think that's part of the Paul DeJong thing. Is they have a place they can play him in the infield, because you would rather have, no matter how you're going to slice it up, you'd rather have DeJong learning second base than Espinal or Merrifield with how they've played at second base. And, you know, as long as Witt is hitting, you sort of play him wherever. It doesn't really matter. I think like the thing about all the moves that is good is that they're all upgrades. Putting yes, Paul DeJong yes, in the Espinal spot is an upgrade.
They are a better all-around team than they were 2 weeks ago, no question.
So I guess my last place to take this, we talked about the guys that didn't move and the guys that did move. The other part of this I've heard sort of bandied about, and I think it's worth talking about as well, is grading on a curve, right? Is sort of grading on what, like, Baltimore didn't really load up. They got Jack Flaherty, a guy that's worse than Hyunjin Ryu, or not Hyunjin Ryu, is worse than any Blue Jays pitcher this year other than Manoah, basically. Like, worse than Kikuchi by a run and a half, by like half a run. Like, there's lots of
the Yankees didn't load up. The Rays didn't really load up.
Red Sox got Ulysses Urias, I think. Who's, nobody in the Central even made a deal that I can think of.
Houston and Texas loaded up.
Yeah.
Texas especially. Houston really just kind of added Verlander, which,
and the Angels are made a push. Like, whether they load it up or not, they are signified they are going to try to.
Yeah, but I don't win. I won't take them seriously till I have to.
So I guess that is the other part of it. That's the other thing I've heard. But for me,
I hate that mindset. Personally.
Again, for me, it's like, it's the same as like the guys who did and didn't move sort of conversations. Like, that's true, and I agree. And if that's your rationale for sort of shrugging at the deadline, I'm totally support that. I just feel like, given that's the way everybody is acting, bucking the trend and like being willing to part with anything to get a really good player here would have, to me, been a really impactful move. It's not that, you know, it's the lack of improvement. They obviously improved. It's that it was the lack of, like, this has been, you mentioned it literally off the top, but I think this has been our only real complaint, is the lack of the like finishing touch. We were like, the buzz, it was a real buzz, because it was like, damn, if they get the outfielder, that is it. Like, kiss the fingers. Mm-hmm. The roster is done, and it feels like they didn't put the last piece on it. And again, we could be wrong.
I think that's the most frustrating part too. They were so close to just like nailing it.
Yeah, and again, I think it's going to be the kids. I think we're going to get David Schneider, or we're going to get Addison Barger. I think that's happening, especially if Bo is out.
And I think, to a point you made earlier, a lot of this, not all of it, but a lot of the "boy, they really need another bat" conversation is different if Springer and Varsho aren't just like complete black holes on offense. Like, we've said many times, not to relate everything back to 2015, but it's just an easy comparison because it makes a lot of sense with parallels. That team survived 140 games of Kevin Pillar and Ryan Goins hitting. So, right. Like, having Dalton Varsho and Paul DeJong is not world ending at the end of your lineup.
Yeah.
But you need the other seven, you need the other seven guys to be hitting.
At least they have like a really high value that you like. At least they're great defensively. One thing, if they weren't really contributing, speak of Varsho and DeJong, at least one thing, if they were not really contributing with the bats, but are incredible defenders, at least.
Right? Exactly. And so, but when Springer's not hitting and Vlad's not hitting and Belt is kind of a question mark and Chapman's kind of a question mark, it's a lot harder to be like, hell yeah, you know what I mean?
Right. Gotcha. No, I see it. I think overall, like, I do feel positive about the deadline. I do feel like you said, they're a better team today than they were a week ago. Last time we potted, they made three upgrades as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Added a good lefty, added a great righty, added up the middle insurance with an elite defensive player at shortstop, which is like, at the very least, if he's terrible in every at-bat, elite defensive shortstop is something that, like, even then you're like, all right, well, that's even I know Varsho was giving you elite defense, but the defensive shortstop is like a special thing to see and watch. So,
well, especially if the rehab Bowett second idea actually happens. It won't happen, but if it does,
that guy. Yeah.
But like the left side of the infield is
sickening.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
The best, yeah, but like the basically one of the best possible left sides of an infield with Chapman and DeJong in terms of defensive skill. So that'll be nice to watch, truthfully, and I think that'll help quite a bit.
Even if Bo is a short, he's been fine this year. Short,
I think,
second, it's not Espinal or Biggio, so it's fine.
Good living. Yeah, it's good living. And you, I mean, geez, Gold Glover's lad at first.
Gold Glove Vlad is kind of like the Espinal all-star.
I love it. Last thing for me is, I think, a bit of a heart tease for some people. I'm speaking about me. I don't know why I'm saying some people. A bit of a heart tease for me for it to be Teoscar. I don't know.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't know if that there was truth or if they were of a rival exec sees an easy target here and an easy way to stir up a lot of stuff, or it was an agent or what it was, but just because it was Teoscar Hernandez, I think that got me in a spot where I was like, whoa, they're going to get the right-handed bat and they're going to get the, like, it was like, yes, it just felt to me like spiritually getting Teoscar was the answer. You know what I mean?
It was storybook. It was exactly writing, right. It was writing the culture wrongs.
It was like, what does Vlad need? It's like, Vlad needs his buddy back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, it would that is, I think, makes it doubly hard. And I understand there are people, I saw a lot of people online, and they're not Vlad people. They're not Teoscar people. They're just like, Teoscar's been bad this year. No argument here. I just really think
he's, he'd be like the fourth best offensive player on the team right now.
I really think it would have worked. I really do.
Yeah, I do.
But so it goes. I can see why Seattle wasn't thrilled with the idea of giving us that moment.
I will say, from what I saw online, Mariners fans are pissed that he didn't get traded. They don't care.
Yeah.
They are mad.
I try to put myself in Mariners fan shoes because I know more than my fair share. I would be annoyed too. Imagine if they sold, basically, like, imagine if they sold this year, the Jays, like, right? It's like you come up just short. And you finally make it. If they just like, all right, we're going to trade Romano.
Oh, no. Like, wait, the Mariners fans I saw were mad that they didn't sell.
It puts you in a shitty mood. You know what I mean? I think selling this year would have felt terrible if you're a Blue Jays fan. If you really
honest with yourself. For sure.
So anyway, in conclusion, unless you have anything else.
No, in conclusion, bring on that third wildcard spot, baby.
In conclusion, Bo's health is what matters here more than anything in the deadline. Bo's health is what matters. I'm a cautious person. I would put him on the 10-day DL.
I would too.
And be like, all right, no rush here. Take your 10 days. Let's get young, acclimatized. Let's figure this out. Maybe get somebody up, maybe try something, have some fun for 2 weeks. And then we got to get serious. I would let him take his time instead of having a hole on the roster one more time. So, you know, the moves being what they are, I give a thumbs up to all the moves collectively, and probably like a B on the overall deadline, because as sour as the outfielder thing is, they did go top of the market for reliever, which was like, you wanted them to go top of the market somewhere. And I thought Enesis Cabrera is the kind of move that I had quietly been clamoring for quite a while as well, which was like another lefty. They just, every deadline offseason, they just haven't gone and got the other lefty. And I'm always like, am I crazy for not liking that Mays is the only lefty? And like, I know a lot of people are past ready lefty splits, but I was like, for the one guy that is super susceptible to it, it's nice to have a second guy. And Cabrera is what I like in a lefty, sort of erratic, but also like really has stuff. I thought they did a good job identifying the bullpen targets. And I like DeJong overall. Just would have liked a little bit more. So a B for me. And just the closing reminder for me was as it has been all year long, the bet here is on Vladdy and Springer and Bo. That is what the bet of this team is based around. And what Atkins has managed to do is build a great pitching staff. Best ERA in the American League, 6 starters. They have the great problem of having too many starters. They also now have too many good relievers. They've done a great job there. And the whole thing is built around what can Vladdy and Springer and Bo get you. And we have seen in the last couple of years what it's like when you have all three of them going. We've seen in the last couple of years what it's like when you have one of the three going. One of the three going gets you into the playoffs. We've learned that.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter which one of the three it is, they've all taken turns, been the only one that's hot, and it's a 90 win team. If they can all get going at the same time, they have all the other stuff to get it done. That is as true this year as it ever has been. All the pieces around them are supplemental, are in place. It's built a little rickety. There's not a lot of room, but as it's currently constructed, they have what it takes. It's got to be those three guys, and that remains, to me, more apparent than ever.
I mean, we all know what Springer needs to do.
Hey, it saved Roddy Tellez's his career, shaving his head.
Danny Jansen, best hitter on the team.
Enough said in my books. Jake, any last grand statements as to how you feel?
No,
how you're going forward?
I agree with you. I think there was... I agree that I think the disappointment of the lack of outfield bat was like 30% an outfield bat and 70% the fact that the name was Teoscar.
Yes.
Like when it came down that Pham was being traded, but we didn't know to who, I wasn't like, oh, sick, we might get Tommy Pham.
Yeah.
Like it was kind of like, great, if they add another bat, that's great. And Pham is having a better year than Teoscar. But it didn't excite me in any way. Certainly not like the idea of Teoscar coming back did. But yeah, I mean, if they can't hit with runners in scoring position, it doesn't matter, frankly. And if Springer can't get on base, it doesn't matter. And if Vlad can't get it in the air, it doesn't matter. So I am discouraged and disappointed in the lack of a bat, but there are bigger issues currently facing the team than the lack of the outfield bat. So, yeah, bring on the Twins.
I can't believe in your doomsday tweet, you picked the Twins to be swept by. Not in a million years. Twins is maybe the only franchise that I feel like the Jays would march right through. The only
That's why it felt so doomsday.
It's the only franchise I think more fragile.
Can't you see it? They get the third wild card spot, luck into that central team, and then just lose 1-0 both games.
Okay,
the pitching staff is great and just can't score.
Jake, follow me down a dark path here because I have a vision.
Oh.
And it's not good. What I think, if you ask me what's this year's version of last year's blowing an 8-1 lead to Seattle at home? The team that we've tried to bully in their own.
I will say, as someone who was at that game, you're going to have to go pretty dark to get worse than that.
Well, it's an old friend I like to call the Texas Rangers.
Yep. Yeah. I see where you're going.
And all the jokes about how the Texas Rangers, all their greatest moments are guys getting in fights in the regular season. And Marcus Semien and the Texas Rangers.
Just slaughter us.
I don't know. They might. I like them over the Rangers in the series, and I know that's a weird series of the way that the standings would have to work. But just a funny thought in my head because Texas was loaning out.
It's not that crazy. Houston wins the AL West. They're right down there in the muck with us.
Yeah, yeah, it would be fun. Okay, I think that's it. I think I'm exhausted on takes. Jake, how is Hyunjin Ryu done tonight?
He lasted 5 1/3, gave up 9 hits and 4 runs. I think all the runs came on home runs. He got hit really hard, but looked okay for his first game back, hit 90, 91. I will say this, even though he looked not awesome, I still enjoyed watching him more than I've enjoyed any Alek Manoah start this year.
Interesting. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. Maybe it's just the style of pitching. Or it's just like personal bias. I think it's a shame that his first game back had to come against the Orioles, who are just like shit kicking us this year.
And on deadline day when
and on when deadline day, yeah,
are so volatile. But it is Looney Hutchinson.
It is. But no, I didn't. He could have looked a lot worse for his first game off Tommy John. I would say that.
That's great.
If the Jays aren't going to score more than 4 runs against the Orioles ever, then it doesn't matter what he does.
We'll see how those words age. But until then, sure. hopefully poorly. Hopefully the Jays turn this around and win. I cannot watch them play Baltimore anymore. I need out of that hell.
A nightmare. This will put the division ideas to bed.
What makes me so mad about playing Baltimore is they make me a very specific kind of mad where I'm like, damn, is this team just way better? It makes me really, I hate that.
Mm.
I prefer when it's like, man, this bullshit team is clearly less talented and we're...
Man, I'm so tired of Ryan Mountcastle. It's another RBI for him.
It's insane. I don't even want to think about it. Okay.
Another double. Jesus Christ.
That's it. We'll be back next week. Probably know about Bo Bichette. We'll probably know about Paul DeJong. We'll probably have seen the pitchers. But there'll be no more roster stuff to mash. What do you talk about after the deadline? Sort of
the playoff race, I guess.
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah. Now the mind shifts, and now it's like time to actually analyze
what they got. Yeah. Now the real games begin.
Gut check time makes me nervous. Hopefully they can beat.
Although after this week, definitely the real games are just the wild card race.
Yeah. Well, I would love them to. I was able to. I was so close to standing by the. They're going to win the East.
It took 3 days ago, I was right there with you. When it was Saturday night, I was like, they're going to win the East. And now I'm like, boy, they have no chance of winning the East.
I'm going to hold on to it because there's no point in getting off of it at this point. No point. No point in making it.
They're going to be like 8 back by the end of this week.
Stop that. You're right. Okay. Well, regardless, we'll see how that goes. We'll talk to you next week. We'll be a little more settled into the new roster, and maybe something great will have happened. Maybe they'll go undefeated between here and there. Let's take a look at the schedule. Speaking of in between here and there, who are they playing in the next week?
Boston after this weekend.
Oh, right. It's an All-American League all the time out of the break, is it not? Yeah, Boston, maybe. That... Cleveland to start next week. So yeah, Baltimore and Boston. That should be agonizing. Can't wait for that. We'll talk about that next week. Jake, anything else?
No, that's it.
Great. Can't wait. Feeling doomsy again. Suddenly feeling like it's...
Oh yeah. Oh, it's watching us get pounded by the Orioles will do that to you.
Any outfielder being out would be real trouble.
Real bad real quick.
Okay, well, we'll try to push those feelings down until they come to light. That's it for another week. We'll see you next week. Thank you so much for being a part of Less Than Jays.